Okay, welcome back everyone to our Daf a Week class. We are up to Chaf Amud Beis. We're up to the third perek. So not too much longer till, God willing, we finish the Masechta. So in terms of the third perek, the way it begins is by explaining that now that we know that there is a clear difference between various stages of holiness, right? So, for example, that Truma, as we'll see, as we know already, is on one level of sanctity or is treated with one level of sanctity, and then Kodesh, right, sacrificial meat, that's on the next level above that, and then Mechatas, right, that's when you have the ashes of the Parah Aduma mixed with water, and so that's at an even higher level of Kedusha. So what the Mishnah is going to do by opening up the third parak over here is to explain that there are several differences, several areas that we are more Machmir when it comes to Kodesh over Truma, and it's going to outline 11 cases or 10 cases. We'll see the Gemara is going to deal with, is it really 11 cases or 12 or 10 cases? The Mishnah seems to present it as 11 cases, and from there we will go to Chaf Aleph, which is, as we said, a short daf, and we'll make some headway into beginning Chaf Beis at Aleph as well, but we'll stop there, God willing, and pick up next week. So let's begin now with the Mishnah again, Chaf Amud Beis, the beginning of the third parak. So the Mishnah says as follows: Chomer b'kodesh mi'batruma. There are several areas, or in general, kodesh is considered more chamor, or more stringent than truma. Shematbilin kelim besoch kelim l'truma. So number one, case number one, that we are more machmir, we're more stringent with kodesh than we are with truma. That when it comes to truma, we can be tovel to get rid of impurity. We can be tovel one kli, one vessel within another vessel for truma, and that will make both of those kelim tahor. Hava lo la kodesh, but we can't do that for kodesh, and we're going to explain why that is in the Gemara. But essentially, the basic understanding of why this is the case is that when it comes to Kodesh, we're going to be machmir for the following concern. Maybe we're going to say that the vessel inside is so heavy that the water won't lift it up, and therefore the water won't touch all the parts of the vessel, and therefore part of it will still be tameh. So as a concern, therefore, when it comes to Kodesh, we say you have to separate the vessels. When it comes to Truma, we say, okay, let's be honest here. It's hard to find water that's not going to lift up a vessel so that the water won't touch all the places, so we don't have to be machmir when it comes to Truma. So again, case number one, you can be tovel one, let's say, a cup inside of another cup for Truma, but you can't be tovel two kelim, one inside the other, when it comes to Kodesh. Avalola Kodesh. Och achorayim besoch uveis hatzvita batruma. So when it comes to a kli, if you look at, think of like those old antique flower pots where you have a regular pot and there's like a stem to that pot. So how is that stem built? Well, usually that stem, if you turn it upside down, it's usually like a hollow stem. So that's most likely what we're talking about over here. So basically, so it says the Mishnah that the outside and the inside and what's called the tzvita place, which we'll describe and understand a little bit further in the Gemara later on, next week, God willing. So all of these things are considered separate when it comes to Truma, aval lo bakodesh, but they're not separate when it comes to Kodesh. So in other words, basically, there's going to be a concern that maybe you'll make an element of a kli tame, for example. So says the Mishnah, when it comes to Truma, one part of the vessel could be tame, and another part could be tahor. That's with regards to Truma. But with regards to Kodesh, if one part of the vessel is tame, then the entire vessel is tame. So again, take that flower pot with the stem. If the top part is tame, then the stem is tame as well for Kodesh. If the top part is tame, then for Truma, the stem could still be tahor. So says the Mishnah again, the outside, inside, and the tzvita place. So these are all considered separate vessels when it comes to Truma, aval lo b'kodesh, but not with regards to Kodesh. Then Hanosei... Sorry, I have like a tickle in my throat. Sorry about that. Hanosei es hamidras, one who is carrying a midras. So a midras, again, is some sort of an article, some sort of an item that the weight of a zav or a zava was put onto this. So, for example, like a piece of clothing, a pair of pants, if a zav sits in a pair of pants, that means the weight of the zav was put on the clothing, so the clothing is a midras. So one who is carrying a midrash, no say esa truma. He can at the same time carry a truma, right? People generally have two hands. So on one hand, you're carrying this piece of clothing that could be matami, someone else. And on the other hand, you can carry truma. That's totally okay. Avalo esa kodesh, but you can't carry kodesh in the other hand. Why? Because we're concerned that maybe they'll come to touch. Again, when it comes to kodesh, we want to be extra careful. Truma, we're careful, but you don't have to go above and beyond. That's fine to carry it in the other hand. Big day, that was case number three. Case number four. Big day, ochle truma midras lakodesh. The clothing of those who eat truma are considered like midras clothing for those who eat kodesh, meaning that they could be matame someone else. The clothing of someone who is eating truma can be matame someone else, so that they cannot eat kodesh. Okay, that's stringency number four. Lo chamidas kodesh. Midas HaTrumah. So unlike when it comes to Kodesh, is the rule of Midras, is the rule of Truma. And so basically what the Mishnah is going to say now is that the laws of Chatzitza are different for Truma and Kodesh, right? When you're Tovel something, there can't be any Chatzitzos. So we're going to be more Machmir when it comes to Kodesh than we are with Truma, says the Mishnah. Shabbat Kodesh, Matir Nagev, Umat Biel, Achar Kach Kosher. That when it comes to Kodesh, let's say you have some sort of a garment that you have knots in. So you have to untie the knots. And let's say the garment was wet. You have to dry out the garment, and only then can you immerse it. And then afterwards, you can retie the knots. So what's going on over here? There's a concern that maybe the water in this, let's say, shirt or in this net, the water in it is tameis, or it's a chatzitza, so we want to make sure it's not there anymore, so it has to be dry, it has to be totally evaporated. And maybe the knots are so tight in the net that you need to be metayer that the water won't go in the crevices of the knot, so you have to undo all of that when it comes to a sanctifying something on a kodesh level. Uva truma kosher v'achar kach matbil. But how makel are we when it comes to truma? That let's say you have a net that you need to be metayer for truma. You can tie the knots first, and then you can be tobel the garments. Meaning, so not only do you not have to untie them, but you could even tie them before you put it in the mikveh. Kelim hanigmarim b'tahara. And when it comes to case number six, when you have kelim that were, when they were made and when they were finished being made, the entire time they were being made, it was done in a state of tahara. Tzrichim tzvila l'kodesh. When it comes to kodesh, you need to be tovel them again, just in case. Aval lo b'truma, but not when it comes to truma. Hakli, case number seven, hakli mitzarif masha b'socho l'kodesh. So when you have a kli, let's say you have several items, several pieces of kodesh meat in a kli, so it combines all of when you have a kli of kodesh, it combines all of the food in the kli that it's tame. So in other words, you have, let's say, 10 pieces of kodesh meat in a kli, one of them becomes tame. If one of them becomes tame, even if they're not touching, they all become tame. However, avalola truma, but not when it comes to truma. If you have one piece of tummy meat, truma inside a vessel, then only that piece is tummy. It could still be matame another piece. If it touches, that's true. And so then the next piece would be tummy and the next piece would be tummy. But when it comes to if the pieces are all separate and we know that they were separate, then you're only that first piece is tummy and the other pieces are not going to be considered tummy, as opposed to kodesh. Again, if they aren't even touching, still they are all tummy. Haravi bakodesh pasul. Case number eight, the eighth time where we're more stringent with kodesh as opposed to truma. So we know that when it comes to a revi'i latuma, that means you have an avatuma was matame something, and so it becomes a rishon latuma. Then the rishon latuma is matame something, it becomes a sheni latuma. Sheni then to shlishi then to revi'i. When it comes to a kodesh meat, so that can be, so what is the lowest level of tuma for a kodesh meat? So it can become a revi'i. That means that if you have a shlishi latuma for a kodesh, that could still be matame another piece of meat and make it that a revi'i. However, ubatruma, when it comes to truma, but when it comes to truma, it's only shlishi, meaning that if you have a sheni latuma for truma, then it could be matami something and make it a shlishi. But once it becomes a shlishi latuma, it's possible and it cannot be matame someone else. As opposed to, again, the kodesh, that once it reaches shlishi, it could still be matame some another piece of kodesh to make it a revi. Okay, so that's the eighth stringency. Ninth stringency, uvat shruma. When it comes to shruma, imnit meis achas miyad, that if one other guy's hands is tame, chaver tatahora, then the other hand is going to still be tor, meaning if the hands touch, then of course the hands are. Then of course the other hand's going to become tummy. But if one hand is tummy, you know it became tummy, and the other hand, you know it did not become tummy. Then you could. There's such a thing in, with regards to truma. The other hand, one could be tummy, one could be tower. Uva kodesh, but when it comes to kodesh, matzbil shtehen. He has to be matzbil. He has to put both of them in the mikvah. Meaning you have to assume that both of them are tummy. You know that only the left hand became tummy and the right hand was not tummy. Okay, we're machmir with kodesh more than we are with truma. Shayad matam. Because the hand makes its it makes the other hand tummy with regards to kodesh avalova truma, but not when it comes to truma. Okay, that was case number 9. Case number 10. Ochlin achalim neguvin biyadayim miso avos batruma, that we can eat dry foods with tummy hands when it comes to truma. So what are we talking about over here? So we know that the way for something to become tameh is that it has to become a machshir l'tumah. It has to be made wet with one of the seven liquids. So you got some water on a piece of truma, and you touch that truma with tameh hands, the truma then becomes tameh. If you didn't get that piece of truma wet or whatever, then even if your hands are tummy, you can't be, the truma won't receive the tumma. So when it comes to eating dry foods, that means even if it became wet, it was machshir l'tumma, but the food is dry now. When it comes to eating dry foods with contaminated hands, so in the case of truma, so you could do that. Your hands can become tummy as long as the truma is dry. Totally okay. We're not concerned that the tumma is going to get onto the truma. But not in the case of kodesh foods, meaning if you have tummy hands, then you can't eat kodesh food even when it's dry. Meaning you can't even touch the kodesh foods unless you are going to be tovah them and make sure that they are tahor. Okay, that was case number 10. And finally, case number 11, ha'oneinu mechusar kippurim. Someone who's an onein, right? So someone, rachman al-islam, loses a close relative. So they, before they enter into avelus, they are in the state of aninus before their loved one is buried. So you have an onin, and you have someone who's a mechusar kippurim. A mechusar kippurim is someone who he was in a state of tuma, and he needs three things to become tahor. He needs to count the certain amount of days. He needs then nightfall to reach. He also needs to be tovel in the mikvah, and he also needs to bring a korban. So this individual, mechusar kippurim, is someone who the night already, it's already nighttime, and he went to the mikvah, but he has to bring the korban the next morning. So that's mechusar kippurim. So both of these cases, Srichen Tevila Lakodesh, they all, in all these cases, in the case of Onin and in the case of Mechusar Kippurim, you need to go to the mikvah to eat kodesh food, avalo la truma, but not for truma. Meaning, if you want to eat kodesh food, you have to go to the mikvah. But when it comes to truma, you could even eat truma food as an onin and as a mechusar kippurim, let alone after you are no longer these things. However, when it comes to kodesh, after your aninas has passed and after your mechusar kippurim status passes, the only time that you're allowed to start eating kodesh is if you then go to the mikvah again. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the Mishnah. All right, so now the Gemara is going to start trying to break down and understand what these cases are all about. So says the Gemara as follows. Bakodesh, my time alo. When it comes to Kodesh, why? Remember that first case that we had, that we said that if you have one cup inside of another cup, so you could be tovel them for truma, that it's not going to be considered a chatzitza. When it comes to Kodesh, you can't be tovel them because it will be considered a chatzitza. Says the Gemara, Bakodesh, my time alo. When it comes to Kodesh, what's the reason that we can't be tovel one cup inside of another cup? Amar Rabbi Eli, said, "Mibnei shekvedo shal kli chotzis," because the weight of the kli that's inside might create chatzitza to the kli that it is within, meaning the water won't get through, so it'll become a chatzitza. Says the Gemara, that's interesting that you're concerned about chatzitza. V'hamidah seifa mishum chatzitza, because we have a later part of the Mishnah that also deals with chatzitza, right? Specifically, the case, what was the case again? What was the case dealing with chatzitza? Right, you had that. You were concerned about the knots being a chatitza. You were concerned about the wetness being a chatitza. So when it comes to that case, so that was case number. That was case number five. So case number five was talking about chatitza. So what do you mean? Case number one and case number five are talking about chatitza? It doesn't make any sense. So again, says the Gemara Bahama, they say the Mishnah chatitza. In the latter part of the Mishnah, we also were speaking about chatitza. Reisha la Mishnah chatitza. So therefore, if the fifth case is talking about chatitza, it must be that the first case is not about chatitza. It wouldn't make sense. Why would you teach two chatitza cases? These, it's clear that we're more chamor when it comes to Kodesh in the category of chatitza. Vizehu. No need to say that twice, just say it once. So therefore, it must be that it's not that both cases are about chatzitza. Tikkatani seva, because the fifth case of the Mishnah says, below kemidas ha-kodesh midas ha-truma, that the rules of kodesh are not like truma. Shabbat kodesh matir u-minagiv, u-matbil v'achra kach kosher, because when it comes to kodesh, you have to untie the knots, and then dry the net, whatever it is, and then you can be tovel it, and only then retie the knots. So what truma kosher v'achra kach matbil, when it comes to truma, you could even tie the knots, and then you can be tovel this netting or whatever it is. So it's clear that there's a greater chumrah of chatzitza when it comes to kodesh. So it must be, therefore, that the first case is not about chatzitza, says the Gemara. No. Reisha v'seifa mishum chatzitza. You're right. The first case of the Mishnah is about chatzitza, and the fifth case of the Mishnah is also about chatzitza, but Utsricha, still it was necessary to teach both of these cases. Why? De'iyashmin and Reisha, because if you would have only taught the first case about being toveled one cup inside of another cup, one kli inside of another kli, hava mino hayno taima d'la kodesh lo, I would have said that the reason that the kli does not need to be, I would have said that the reason why the kli can't be immersed within another kli for kodesh, mishum kevedo shel kli deika, because of the concern that there's one kli that's inside the bigger kli that's going to be so heavy that of course there's going to be a chatitza, right? Sometimes you have a very heavy bowl or a very heavy pot that, yeah, it won't come out. It's so heavy, so the water won't be able to get in the crevices of a seifa. But in the case of the seifa, right, the case number five, the leka kevedo shel kli, there's no concern of a heavy inner vessel that's going to create a chatitza. So imala kodesh nami lo havi chatitza. So maybe I would say that for kodesh too, that the knot is not considered a chatzitza. V'iyashmin and seifa, and if regarding the and if the Mishnah would have only taught the fifth case of the netting with the knots that it has to be dry for kodesh but not for truma, hava amina hainu taima de la kodesh lo, I would have said that this is the reason that the following is the reason that mishum, that because now we're on chaf aleph and beis de kitra b'maya ahaduki mihodak, because when it comes to a knot, so we know something about knots, right? Knots usually are very tight in water. You ever tie something really tight and put it in the water? So usually, if you can get that knotting out, you'll see that the outer laces will be wet, but sometimes the inner part is still dry because it really cut off any water coming in. So a knot is tight in water, so that could be a chatzitza of aleration. But in the case of the first section of the Mishnah, when we had the one kli and another kli, demaya akpui makpu lei lemana, right? Water always will make a kli float. So this would have to be a very heavy kli. I mean, boats float in the water. So you tell me, I don't care how heavy this pot is, of course the water is going to make it float. So since no matter how heavy the vessel is, the water will make it float. So lo havi chatzitza. So I'll say that maybe the kli inside of another kli should not be a chatzitza when it comes to kodesh. Therefore tzricha. Therefore both the case of the kli inside the kli and the case of the netting with the knots, both these cases need to be taught by the Mishnah, and you can't just have only one chatzitza case. You need both of them because they're very different. Okay, with that says the Gemara, Rabbi Ila Latame. Rabbi Ila, who is the one who said that the concern is chatzitza for case number one. So he goes according to his opinion that he has elsewhere. It's the Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, because Rabbi Ila said in the name of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Eser Ma'alos Shanukan. They taught here in the Mishnah 10 stringencies with regards to kodesh over truma. Chamesh rishonos, the first five apply bein the kodesh, bein the chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, whether it's actual kodesh meat or it's chulin food that's prepared according to the tahara standards of kodesh. So the first five apply in all those cases. But achronos hakodesh, the last five apply only to kodesh. Avalo lechulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, but not to chulin that were prepared according to the tahara standard of kodesh. So there's a difference between the first five and the second five. Stop for a second. The first five and the second five, I thought we have 11 cases. Ah, so says the Gemara, the implication is that according to Rabbi Yila, there's really only 10 cases. There's two types of examples for one of the cases. That is, there's two chatzitza examples, but it's really a total of 10. So therefore, we see from here that Rabbi Yila, who's the one who says that case number one and case number five are both about chatzitzas, he refers to the entirety of our Mishnah as 10 stringencies and not 11 to show that really cases number one and five are two sides of the same coin. There's like A and B of 1 point instead of two separate points, which would then be 11. He says the Mishnah only has 10 cases. So says the Gemara now further. My time, what's the reason that the first five, so fine, so we got that, but now let's delve into this statement of Rabbi Yila that he said elsewhere. My time, what's the reason that the first five that applies to the Kodesh and the Chulin that we treat like Kodesh, but Chamesh Kamaya said that in the first five, that's the answer. So my time. So what's the reason why we differentiate between the first five and the second five? So Chamesh Kamaya said in the first five cases, the Islahu Durara, the Tumma Midoraisa, which involved there's a concern of Tumma Midoraisa. There's a biblical Tumma component here. So Gazru Behu Rabbanan, the rabbis. Gazru Behu Rabbanan, the rabbis specifically said that. Chamesh Kamaya says in the first five cases, this Lhujrarak to Tumma Midoraisa, which have the concern of Tumma according to Midoraisa standards. So Gazru Behu Rabbanan. So the rabbi said, being the Kodesh, being the Chulin, Shinasu Al Taharas HaKodesh. So when it comes to Kodesh and Chulin that's prepared like Kodesh, we say that they're gonna, that we have to be concerned for these first five cases. But Basraisa, but in the last five cases, the Lais Lhujrarak to Tumma Midoraisa, which don't involve the concern of Tumma according to Midoraisa standard. The rabbis say they only apply to Kodesh, but lechulin shanasu altaras Kodesh. When it comes to chulin that's prepared with Kodesh standards, lo gazru behu rabbanan. The rabbis did not decree that these last five should apply to chulin prepared as Kodesh. Fine. So that is all Rabbi Yila. Now Rav is going to come and say, whoa, what are you talking about over here? Who says that it's only 10 cases? Really, it should be 11 cases. And that's because who says that the first case is really about chatzitza? Rava Amar Rava says, midasefa havi mishum chatzitza. The second case, meaning case number five, the second chatzitza case, that's clearly about chatzitza. Reisha lavishum chatzitza, but since that's the case, since case number five is about chatzitza, we can infer that case number one is not about chatzitza. The reisha hainu taima, and in the first case of the Mishnah, the reason why we say one kli can't be inside of another kli is gezeira shelo yakbil mechatan mitzinoros. The rabbis were concerned that one might come to take very small vessels and put them bechli she'in befiv kishfoferes hanod, and they're going to take these very small vessels and they're going to put them inside of another vessel, and the opening of that vessel is going to be very small. How small? Well, think of like one of those like skin flasks, and there's like a you know what I'm talking about, like you see these in like camping shows, movies. So they have like a skin flask, like a leather flask, and so there's like a tube on top of that. So it's a pretty thin circumference of an opening. So there's a concern. Maybe people will take these little vessels and put them inside a kli which has this very, very skinny top. And if that's going to happen, kitanan, that this type of tefillah will not be kosher, because we have in the Mishnah that eruv mikvos kishvoferes hanod, Hilchos Mikvos 101, the way mikvos usually work is with something called hashaka. So basically, we say that if a kosher mikvah has to be filled with 40 sa'a of rainwater, let's say I don't have 40 sa'a of rainwater, and let's say I want to keep refilling the mikvah to make it nice and clean, right? So what do? So you do something called hashaka. You have one basin that starts with 40 sa'a of rainwater, and then you have another basin that does not have to have as much, but as long as it is connected to the other mikvah with like a with like an opening from one of the basins to the next. It's like essentially like a pipe, not a pipe, but essentially like a pipe. So if that's the case, then even the second basin will be considered like a kosher mikvah, even if it's not rainwater, even if it's less than 40 sa, etc. So the Mishnah says that eruv mikvahs kishul feres hanod, that when you connect two mikvahs, it has to be that the size of the hole connecting them needs to be this exact size of that tube that goes on top of that flask, that leather flask. So it has to be the size of that tube. And says the Mishnah further, ka'ovia, that it has to be the size of the thickness of v'kachalala, and also the size of the hole, right? So think of a hose for a second. So a hose, the circumference inside the hose is different than the circumference around the entirety of the hose, right? Because the outer layer makes it a little bit bigger. So the hole has to be how big? Minimally, the size of the entire circumference of the whole, of this whole tubing piece. And says the Gemara, the Mishnah, b'shtei etzbos chozros limkoma. And this is a space that's measured with two fingers that can rotate inside of it. So that's how you know how big it is. It has to be big enough to fit two fingers, and you can turn them around inside. So essentially, what the Mishnah does over here, what the Gemara is doing over here, is that by quoting this Mishnah, it shows that the only way that water that comes into a kli from the mikvah, that that water will be matai or something, is if the opening is the, you know, this tubing size or larger. But let's say you have a kli that the size of the opening is smaller than that tubing, and you have little vessels that are inside. So the guy's going to say, great, even though I lost my little vessels inside this kli, I'm going to bring this whole thing to the mikvah, and everything's going to become taller. But says the Gemara, based on this Mishnah, that the only way hashaka of two mikvahs works is that the hole has to be yay big, and now this hole is smaller than that. So now the water that's going to go inside this pot or whatever it is with this very small hole is not going to be considered kosher mikvah water by the time it gets inside the kli, and therefore the kelim that are inside will not become tahor. So therefore, that's why we can't do a kli inside of a kli, because of the situation where we might take little kelim and put it inside of a kli that cannot literally cannot swallow kosher mikvah water and have the mikvah water maintain its kashrus, and so therefore we say that you can never be tovel a kli inside a kli, even if there's a big opening. So that is Rava's explanation. And so I think we'll stop here for now. But basically, what the Gemara is going to go into next is that we're going to see the opinion of Rava and how the opinion of Rava differs from that of Rabbi Yila. That Rabbi Yila is the one who says that the first case and the fifth case are about chatzitza, and Rava says no. The fifth case, of course, is about chatzitza, but the first case, as we just explained, is not about chatzitza, but rather about this other concern of another case where we might get confused and be matai or something that really should not become tahor. So we'll stop right here. Wish everyone a beautiful evening.